on, and then we'll have extra time for prayer tonight. Well, let's turn then to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Dear congregation, these are familiar words. They've often been sung in times of sorrow, but also read when one is on holiday and enjoying a rest. But the psalmist here, the psalmist David, said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He considers the Lord here in this psalm, and he considers the Lord to be his shepherd. And we know as we turn to John chapter 10, but also to Hebrews 13 and Ezekiel 34, that the shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the deity of Christ here in this psalm. The Lord Jehovah, is my shepherd. He is God. What a great shepherd we have, and how blessed we are to know him. A shepherd who leads and a shepherd who guides. We saw that the other evening as we turn to Psalm 48. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. He will guide us. He will drive like a shepherd. He will lead. It's all there in the Hebrew. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ, where he is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. We are in acquaintance with him. And how blessed we are that we are in union with Christ. We can say, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." The Lord is my shepherd. How often these words have been sung at a funeral when certain ones have sought to know comfort. What a blessing to sing of Christ as one we know at such a time. How many sing these words but do not know the shepherd? We're so blessed that he is our shepherd, my shepherd. We know him in a personal way. We are in acquaintance with him. I know whom I have believed. We focus our eye on him and we know him in our heart. And we are so blessed to know the shepherd, the great shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And so, as we consider Christ tonight, we can truly look back and know that he was our Saviour who died for us. He gave his life for us. He was smitten, stricken of God, and he died there for us. He had us in his heart as he was there on the cross, but he loved us unto the end. The shepherd's love, what love was in his heart. Well, how blessed we are to know him and to be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." If you note verse 4, we think there of the valley. What a blessing. Before we come to consider the valley in verse 4, to know the shepherd, to know that he is with us in every experience of life. He leads us on. We follow him. We heard his voice, "Follow me." And through grace, we have followed the shepherd. And he leads us and he guides us. He brings us to the green pastures. And then he brings us to the valley and helps us through. The Lord is my shepherd. We can face tomorrow. We can face the future. We can face our trials. We can face death itself because the Lord is my shepherd. And what grace is here? We don't deserve him, do we? It's all of grace that we can say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. He's come near to us in effectual calling. And he said to us, thou art mine. He gave himself over to us. How blessed we are. Now notice what the psalmist says at the end of verse 1. I shall not want. And you know, when we begin to truly just sit down and consider Christ and contemplate his excellencies, his beauty, what he has done for us, how he helps us, and what he will do for us, we can say with the psalmist, I shall not want. I recall as a young lad in Sunday school hearing these words, being rather confused. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I didn't understand. But we know what the psalmist is saying here. We need no one else. We need no other saviour. Remember what Peter said to our Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We're not for turning, are we? Because there is no one else. What a wonderful saviour he is. I shall not want. What a wonderful friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need none other, do we? I was writing the other day to a certain Christian lady, and I spake of Christ as our best friend, as our closest friend. And he is, isn't he? I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I need none other. But then consider secondly, all that we have need of will be provided in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I shall not want. He'll meet all my needs. He'll help me in every trial. He'll lead me through. I will be provided for, cared for, and I will be helped. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, let's come to verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And we're led now to consider, particularly from verse 2, the shepherding of the shepherd. How he shepherds us. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Let's first of all consider the green pasture. You may be on holiday and you're on a walk. Maybe at Moor Point down in North Devon, and the lovely green grass, and you sit down. And you sit down there to rest. Well, we're told here, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The green pasture is there for nourishment, food for the sheep. But we note here, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The shepherd causes the sheep to lie down. Well, we can think of the green pasture. Those times when the gatherings, where there is the gathering of the saints, when the Lord draws near and we're fed through the word, a green pasture. Each day when we humbly turn to the Lord, there's a green pasture, a season of extra opportunity to commune with the Lord in our lives is a green pasture. And we're thankful for these times. But we particularly note what the shepherd does. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We can come to those times of worship, but not know the benefit. We can turn to the word each day, but we struggle on those prolonged seasons, and we find it hard. But at certain times, the shepherd makes us lie down in those green pastures. He causes us to rest, and we're fed, and we're strengthened. He makes us lie down. And you know how it is, you're in the gatherings of the saints, you're coming to your readings, and you feel that benefit, you feel that nourishment, you feel that soul strengthening. What's happened? The shepherd has caused you to lie down. How we need him to so cause us to lie down. Because left to ourselves, even in an hour of worship, we will not profit, we will not benefit. But the shepherd so loves us. He wants us to be nourished. He wants us to be fed. He wants us to know rest. And so he makes us to lie down. And our prayer ought to be, Lord, when I come to worship, when I come to my readings each day, when I come to family worship, Lord, make me to lie down. You know how it is? Sometimes you come to your readings and you know that restlessness in your mind. You find it hard to concentrate. Oh, blessed shepherd of my soul, calls me to lie down in this green pasture that I might profit. It's a lovely description, isn't it? It's the green pasture. It's not a barren pasture. It's a green pasture. Oh, Lord, calls me to lie down. And then the shepherd leads to the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And we think particularly of refreshment. The green pastures for rest and nourishment. The still waters for refreshment. You remember the Lord is a rock in Isaiah 32. In a weary land. And we need to shelter under him. To know the shade of Christ. As we see in the Song of Solomon. Well, we need the rivers of refreshment. The still waters. Where the shepherd leads us. To the still waters, the times of worship. And he causes us to drink of the refreshing waters of his word. The Spirit applies and we are refreshed. He leadeth me. How we need the shepherd's work. Left to ourselves, we won't find the still waters and no refreshment. Yes, we may be in them, but we won't know the refreshment. But the shepherd leads, he leadeth me beside the still waters. A place of calm, wherein we are refreshed. And the still waters are the contrast to the valley in verse 4. I've said this many a time, when you think of the valley there in verse 4, when you look at the Hebrew word, it speaks of a gorge-like place with flowing waters at the bottom. You think of Cheddar Gorge. I do not know if you've been there. But many years ago, the waters came and carved out that gorge. And there's a little river. We can think of the valley like a gorge. And at the bottom, there's a river and it's flowing. It's not the still waters of verse 2. It's a river, rather, that is flowing. And it's hard to go through. There's this amazing contrast in the Hebrew from verse 2 to verse 4. There are the times when we're struggling through the waters of affliction in the valley. But then he brings us to the still waters, a place of calm where our weary souls are refreshed. Verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. Now just consider verse 2. The green pasture in which he causes us to lie down, and we're nourished, we're fed, we're led to the still waters wherein we are refreshed. It's part of the restoring, isn't it? He restoreth my soul. And we need it. Well, he's such a shepherd and he so loves us, and so he makes us to lie down. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. We consider our soul the main part of us. The main part of us. Now are we not blessed when he restores our soul? We know refreshment. We may have been weary, but we know refreshment. He restores. We may have been affrighted. And yet he comforts, he restores. We may have been backsliding, but he restores us. He brings us near. We may have been struggling, not sensing the Lord's presence, but he comes alongside and he restores us. And we're strengthened in faith and we sense he is near. He restoreth my soul. You remember a few weeks ago we considered those words in Exodus 15, the Lord is my strength and my song. And we all know what it's like, do we not, to know that strengthening within. We feel the strength. And the Lord strengthens us. We're able to focus. We're able to take a step forward in faith. We know what it is to have the soul restored by the shepherd. Our faith strengthened. Our hope encouraged. He restoreth my soul. Precious are the times when the shepherd restores our soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us in the right way. He restores. He causes us to focus on the word. It may be we've been backsliding. He restores and then helps us to go in the right way. And he leads us. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The paths of righteousness. We note in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man, remember those words, to do justly and to walk humbly with thy God, to go down the path of righteousness with the Lord. The Lord leads us down that way. The path of righteousness, that which is right, that which benefits our soul, that which helps us in sanctification. He leads us. He knows it's good for us. He knows the blessing when we're running the way of God's commandments. He knows how beneficial it is to our soul when we're so focused on him and following him down the path. And so he leads us. But do you notice at the end of verse 3, the great reason why he leads you and me is for his name's sake, for his glory. And so we can be assured then he will come again and again to lead us down the paths of righteousness. Why? Because he is concerned about his glory. And when you feel you're being led and you're being helped to be holy, you're being helped to do that which is right, remember, he's doing it for his glory. And all do we not respond to the shepherd, come lead me for thy name's sake. I want to be perfecting holiness because I want thee to be glorified. Oh, to think more often like this. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Think of the valley again. It's like a gorge, and at the bottom is a river. There's waters flowing. It's not easy. You know, we would always like to be near the still waters, wouldn't we? Well, we have to wait to the calm waters of heaven to lie down forever. We do know the still waters, and we can know the still waters at times in the valley, but we must go this way. And we find ourselves in the valley. Maybe somebody's suffering, somebody's dying. They're in the valley itself, but then family members, they're in the valley as well as they look on. But then we can think of all afflictions as a valley, and we walk through the valley. Just think of these words, I walk through the valley. And as you think of verse 1 and the shepherd and verse 6 and the prospect, we're walking through the valley with an expectation that we will get to the end of the valley. And we're not alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Who? But Jesus is with me. You know, rightly we think of the Lord Jesus in verse 1 particularly, but let's think of the Lord Jesus in verse 4. He's with us. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us. Thou art with me. We take comfort. He is with us in the valley, even though we may not greatly sense it at times. But what a blessing when we do. And we're able to respond to the Lord in the valley. Thou art with me. The Lord's Day Eve morning, rather, we'll return to Psalm 119 and we'll look at affliction. It is good for me. And we think of affliction, the valley of affliction. What a blessing to know the Lord is with us. For thou art with me. What a comfort that is as we think of the future. To know the Lord will be with us. One day we all have to face the last valley. Let's thank the Lord Jesus tonight that we have the assurance in this psalm we will not be alone. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We're led to consider particularly the word. And here's the comfort that the Holy Spirit will draw near in affliction and comfort us through the word. And have we not often been comforted through the word? The Spirit has applied the word and we've been helped and comforted in affliction. And then in the last valley, the Lord will come. And let me underline this. I find this one of the greatest comforts here. To know that even though I may go unconscious right at the end, and family members may be looking on, and I may be struggling, before I see Jesus, he through his Spirit will comfort me. And you take comfort in that. The Lord will comfort his people. They may struggle. The family may be looking on. The one is unconscious. Let me tell you, before that one dies and goes to be with Jesus, the shepherd comes and comforts. One may have many doubts arising in the heart and they may share it with their loved one. I'm concerned. But before they die, the shepherd will come and will assure through the word. It's a wonderful word. And one day we're going to know that wonderful word. Before we die, we will be so assured. If we've had doubts previously, we will be so assured. The shepherd will comfort us. The Holy Spirit, his Spirit, will bring the word to our mind. I believe that before you see Jesus, the Lord will remind you of Calvary and his resurrection before you die. And you'll be comforted in view of the cross. You'll be comforted in view of the shepherd. All will be well. You'll know for true in your heart. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Comfort will be known. It's coming your way. In the next valley, comfort will come your way. In the last valley, comfort is coming. Because the shepherd will see to it. How blessed we are to be able to say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. He will help me, therefore, throughout my life. Well, we draw to a close. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In the first half of verse 5, see what the Lord is able to do for those who suffer for his sake. A table is provided. A table of rich food. How the Lord has comforted us through his word. And we've known the blessing, haven't we? Maybe in the workplace, the school, the college, there have been those mocking us. But the Lord has brought the word home to us. And we've been helped and strengthened. Well provided for in the veil of affliction. Well provided for when we face the persecuting foe. The Lord is there with us and he provides a bountiful table. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He blesses us. We feel that strengthening through the Holy Spirit and our cups run over. And we can truly echo those words, my cup runneth over. He's blessed us, firstly, more than we deserve. And secondly, he's blessed us so much. My cup runneth over. Are you not thankful you are a vessel of mercy? And mercy has filled the cup and so many other blessings. My cup runneth over. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy, the Lord's goodness, his grace, his love, his mercy shall follow me. The psalmist has looked back. He's considered the valleys, those times when the shepherd has also brought him to the still waters and the green pastures. He's seen the Lord shepherding before his eyes. He's taken notice of the Lord's goodness and mercy. And now he looks to the future. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I know it. I proved it by experience. The Lord follows me in his goodness and mercy. I know it in light of the scripture, and I believe it. The Lord will continue to shepherd my soul, and he will dispense his goodness and mercy in the pathway before me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me or pursue me. My path will be pursued with such mercy and goodness. And not just one day, but all the days of my life. Now here's a thought. Remember we considered in verse 3 the restoring of the soul and the different aspects there. And one of them was the restoring from backsliding. Even on those days of backsliding, God's goodness and mercy follows us. How do we prove that? Because it's not too long, is it? And if God's goodness and mercy did not follow us on those days of backsliding, none of us would be here tonight worshipping the Lord. He comes after us. For his goodness and mercy follows us all the days of my life. On those calmer days, when the sun is shining, and you know much calm in your soul, and things seem a little easier, but also on the stormy days, his goodness and mercy follows every day. Our last day, his goodness and mercy will follow us. But the psalmist concludes, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. First of all, his resolve. And then secondly, his anticipation. Firstly, his resolve. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have considered the shepherd who is altogether lovely. I have considered his shepherding, how he nourishes my soul, how he restores my soul, how he leads me. In view of what he does for me, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because there his presence I do know in a special way. I will, that's my resolve. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. Tell me, and I make my resolve. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to be with the brethren and know the presence of Christ. I will. I consider my Saviour who died for me, and his dealings, and his goodness and his mercy. I want to continue to worship him. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever here upon earth. But then secondly, in conclusion, his anticipation. He thinks of a greater house in heaven, such a vast house. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, I value the local congregations here below, where the twos and the threes are gathered. But I think of a great house in heaven. And my anticipation is, because of the shepherd, I will dwell in that house forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We need no one else. He loves us and he cares for us. He will lead us all the way. And he will provide for us. And you consider this. We have the prospect of seeing him in heaven above, in the house of the Lord, and he is there making it ready for you and for me.
Amen. Thank you, Mark.